Hey, everybody. Merry Christmas. Christmas is a time to celebrate our Savior, to celebrate your family, and to be thankful. What an incredible year this has been. And Erica and I, our whole family, are so blown away that on this Christmas, we are celebrating just the beautiful things in life. So Merry Christmas from all of us on the Charlie Kirk Show. And this is my conversation with my wife, Erica Kirk. Do me a favor and go to BibleIn365.com. That is BibleIn365.com. BibleIn365.com. You could read the entire Bible in 1 year at BibleIn365.com to read the entire Bible in 1 year. Take the challenge right now in Bible365.com. Merry Christmas, everybody. Enjoy this conversation with my wife, Erica Kirk, live from AmFest. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Doesn't she look so beautiful, everybody?
I love you. This is special. I was not anticipating this.
I thought we would just kind of walk out. They did the whole entrance thing. So you guys that have waited this long, you're in for a real treat. So
I asked him last night, I said, honey, what are we talking about tomorrow? And he goes, I don't know, like family, life, maybe about the election. And I was like, you're lucky I don't need note cards. He goes, I know, that's why I married you.
Well, what a year it's been.
Wild.
In so many different ways.
Wild. First of all, I have to say this without getting emotional, but I'm very proud of my husband. And I know many of you are too. I'm going to cry, but you have worked so hard. And I know a lot of you have seen, obviously, his videos on TikTok and all the stuff he does on campus. But no one gets to see him from my angle except for myself and our children. And the sacrifices that he made this year, he's amazing. I'm very blessed.
And I would not have been able to do any of it without Erica. And that's the real truth. I'll tell you what. Where I was going into battle, going into campuses, traveling the country, people that want us dead and they smear you and slander you. And Erica is holding down the fort at home. And can you believe how good she looks? She had a baby 6 months ago. Can you believe that? I mean, it's unbelievable. And it's just this year has been so trying and difficult in more ways than one. You guys might remember a year ago, I gave the whole speech of Here I Am, Lord, Send Me. Does anyone remember that whole thing that we did? Yeah. And it was kind of this joke that we had. As soon as I gave that message, we got so sick. We didn't even have Christmas. Last Christmas, we had Domino's Pizza for Christmas.
Oh, yes, we did. I remember him getting off stage and I say, honey, do you realize what you just did? He's like, yeah, I just spoke. And I was like, no. You said, here I am. That is a very powerful statement. And God's like, I see you. And he just, I mean, it's been a wild year, but Charlie is so obedient to God, to the word of God. And it's been so humbling to witness the way that God has used him this year because he made that declaration a year ago saying, here I am, I'm ready. Wherever you need me to be, Lord, I'll be, and I'm your servant. And just put me out there in the thick of it, and you did it. And it's, but again, now I say, if you're going to stand on stage and say, here I am, make sure you tell me beforehand so I know what we're going up against so that we're prepared.
and we look back at this last year, and we really left it all in the field. And you guys saw that maybe on the video on election night where we did not even have words when they announced Donald Trump to become president of the United States. And for us, it was very real. It was very personal. because who knows what our life would have looked like if Kamala Harris would have become president. Who knows? They would have come after Turning Point. They would have come after us personally. And so we just say glory to God. And the lessons that we learned throughout this last year, you know, we welcomed our son to the world back in May. This, and balancing that with two kids under two, Erica deserves every prize. She's the Patriot of the Year Award. I'll tell you that. That's the award she deserves. And just kind of juggling it all and keeping the marriage strong and keeping that bedrock strong and still doing our best. And we did a really good job. I missed three Sabbaths this year, only three times when we did not do the full Shabbat, which I'm a big believer in, that all of you guys should honor a day for the Lord. Turn off your phone. It says it very clearly in the scriptures. For 6 days you shall work, on the seventh day you shall rest. And we do a really bad job of that as American Christians. We do a horrible job of honoring the Sabbath. In fact, the word in Hebrew literally means Shabbat, which means to stop, to cease all of activity. And we should speak about how our family, I could be traveling for 6 days, but as long as we get one Sabbath, it makes up for all those 6 days. No phones, no technology, just family and quality.
Well, and it's quality over quantity. And, you know, when Gigi sees you walk into the room, she just beelines for daddy. But it's one of those things, too. I mean, people have asked, like, how do you do it when Charlie's traveling and, like, all over the place? It's because we understand our biblical roles in our marriage. He is the head of the household, and I am not a servant. I am not a slave to the master. I am his helpmate. I am the guardian of the home. That is my domain. And the enemy would love nothing more than that territory, because those four walls are not just a home. Those four walls are for when he comes home after battling and building. And those four walls are the walls. I mean, we're creating our child's childhood, which is so special. But it's one of those things where we understand our roles. And, you know, we ask each other every single day, how can I be praying for you? Is there anything I can do for you to help make your day better? And I always want to know, like, what do you need in order to, when you get home, take your shoes off, like an easy, soft landing pad for each other? So it's just being a team and loving one another and knowing that you guys aren't against one another, but we're in the thick of it together.
Yeah, and then being able to go back into the war after that. And I know what every guy is thinking in the audience. How do I get a wife like Erica? I know that's what you're all thinking. And the answer is, you don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it. It's by God's grace. That's the answer. But in all seriousness, you know, we get a lot of questions about dating, and, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are wondering. I mean, I have a lot of thoughts on this, but there's this question of how does the church, how does the conservative movement win back young women and bring women back into this idea of, you know, traditional practices and roles? How should people think about that?
I mean, I feel like it should be a duty of the church to help teach Titus 2 to women, to understand how to be a biblical woman in society. I think it was Elizabeth Elliot that said, being a woman does not make me a better Christian or a certain Christian, but being a Christian makes me a very different woman. And I think understanding, yes, your biblical role, but also, like, be the woman that your future husband deserves. Like, be the woman that, you know, God wants you to be. You don't have to be out partying. Don't, you know, be crazy thinking like I'm running out of time when your God is the author of time. So just chill, you know, like you're going to find your human. God knows your timing. And I think that that's another thing right now that you see too. You know, young men and women, you hear it all the time, like, where am I going to find my future spouse? How do I find my future spouse?
Maybe at America Fest.
But maybe, I know. So you never know. But it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's really important that you have to have an environment where it's conducive towards swimming in a stream of significance, where you know, you're around people that are pouring into you, that are loving on you, that are a conducive environment for you to be the person that you need to be. It's really important.
Yeah, and I mean, my advice to young men in particular is you need to stop acting like grown boys and infants and actually become men. And that starts with It is not attractive. I mean, Erica can support this. It's not attractive to women how much liquor you can drink or how many drugs you could do or how many women you've slept with. I think it's actually not interesting at all. It's the opposite. It's, are you able to support the family and do difficult things and be able to bear an obligation to be able to do this very challenging thing called life? And what we've done is we have created a condition where it's okay for men to kind of continue to stay in that infant stage. And that goes for both men and women. Women, you need to demand more out of men as well. And men, you need to demand more out of yourself. And I say this all the time, which is, I ask the question, like, why are you drinking alcohol? It makes me feel good. Okay, that's a really stupid reason, actually. I'm not saying if you want to drink, it's fine. I'm not trying to be a legalist about it. But to actually give me a good reason, is it going to help you succeed? Is it going to help you flourish? Is it going to help you thrive? And the answer is this. The highest performing people that you guys like at this conference are people that actually don't drink alcohol. Tucker Carlson. Donald Trump. They don't drink alcohol, actually. And again, if you want to do it, fine. Do it in moderation. Be responsible and all that. I don't drink. Again, I'm not trying to say it's because, you know, it makes you better. But here's the thing. Your mornings are easier. Way easier to keep off weight, by the way. And immediately you become more focused and a much more clear thinker about the problems in front of you. And you never have to worry as if your mind and your being is going to be put in jeopardy by some substance you put into your body. By the way, you'll save a ton of money as well, just so we're clear. Like a ton of money. People say, I'm broke. Like, really, how much you spend on liquor a week? And the answer is probably a lot. And going even deeper and beyond that, I think it's really important that we understand that the battle is between, obviously, your flesh and your inclination to try to do what you want to do whenever you want to do it. But that is why God gave us the law. And the law is a school teacher towards Christ. Because, look, if it was easy, then we wouldn't actually need the law. You just kind of follow your flesh, follow your heart, do whatever you want to do. No, you actually must restrain your impulses and restrain your desires. And that is what actually marks a successful or person in pursuit of what is good, true, and beautiful.
Well, and on top of that, think about it. If you, not just you, but if someone was drinking and totally inebriated and you got an emergency phone call at 3 a.m., like if someone really needs you, that loves you, that's not good.
And
that's
basically, if you get super drunk, you're telling the world, I actually don't have that much important stuff going on. That's basically what you're saying. That actually, I don't matter other people that much. But when you don't drink, you're like, I am willing to serve my neighbor, my friend, my spouse, my sister at any time.
Well, and then I get this question all the time, and I want you to share with it. You're a father now, obviously, but what advice can you give to young dads that are either about to have their first child or just had their first child? What would you, I mean, we've been through all of that, but how, I mean, what would you say to help encourage them?
Well, I would say you need to understand the biblical role of the father. Again, I'm still learning this. I've only been at it, you know, for 2.5
years.
We're
still young.
But when it comes to your child, you are tasked to protect them both physically, spiritually, and emotionally, and really outside the house and obviously in other ways as well. Quality time is everything. You're not above any of the duties or the tasks or the roles. But you're also, you as a father and as the provider, you need to get your act together so much that your wife never has a financial pressure ever on the family. And if you have not done that, then you got to get your act together. And let me tell the men out there, you do not spend a dime on video games or sports games or things for yourself until your wife does not have to worry about finances. You come last in the family when it comes to finances, period. That is your job. Your wife gets whatever she wants, whatever she wants. The kids get whatever they want. And I hear all the time, like, well, it's really hard to meet ends meet. Like, let's go get a beer. I'm like, you have no reason actually to do that. Like, you are tasked with the provider. Oh, well, you want all the benefits of being called the head of the household, but none of the responsibilities or the obligations. And it comes with a lot of responsibilities. And so, again, I speak very directly to young men. Erica's the, you know, young woman outreach part of this. But young men need to be talked this way, actually, because they say, oh, I want to be a dad. Like, really? Are you earning enough money? Have you done the right work? Have you asked for a raise, asked for promotion, got up earlier, stayed up later to make sure your family does not have any financial pressures or issues? People say, oh, you know, it's not that easy. I understand that. But then you need to come last in everything, in the sense where I'm not going to spend money on myself until my family is able to not have that kind of financial pressure. And guess what? You as men are a lot tougher and a lot more productive and can work a lot harder than you think. You can push yourself even harder. You could do a double-double. You could do an all-nighter. You could do the red-eye flight across the country. You could push yourself to be able to provide for the family. Because here's the one thing I have found. Once you have kids, there is this primal thing that comes into you where if you think you have worked hard before, when you have to go feed a child and provide for a family, you are willing to go to the ends of the earth and push yourself in ways that you never thought possible. And that is your initial and most important task as a father.
So last year it was here I am. What is the word? You haven't told me yet, so I'm like bracing myself. What's a good word for 2025?
I mean, right now my word is just thank you. Honestly, thank you to God. Thank you to our Creator for sparing us from this terror. I don't have anything more profound than that, honestly. I'm just still kind of in this constant state of gratitude. And our posture before the election was the same as it is now. In one sense, God, what is your will? If your will is to see this country go into the judgment that we deserve, then we will praise you. Exactly. I don't know if you guys heard that or not, but as soon as I said judgment, some sort of oxygen tank exploded or something. It's very cosmic. I just say thank you. And look, I'm actually excited for off election years because I love reading. I love studying. I can finally get back to my 100 books a year. Yes. I kind of got off that this last year because I was just too busy reading the news and looking at polling and turnout data and precinct by precinct modeling. And
you're still listening to Prager.
I was still listening to Prager. By the way, can we all just say a prayer for Dennis Prager right now, an American hero? That I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Dennis is hospitalized in a very serious condition. I can't say more than that. But Dennis is in a very serious circumstance right now and deserves our prayers that God might heal him and God might bring him back to this stage right here on America Fest at some point. Because we need Dennis Prager in this country. Dennis Prager is an American hero. But you're right. I continued listening to Dennis and Larry Arn. That is for sure. So also, I want to brag on Erica. In addition to being an incredible mother and phenomenal wife, she also runs a ministry in her spare time that helps you read the entire Bible in 1 year. You know what I'm talking about? It is called BibleIn365.com. Write it down. Go to the website right now. Honestly, take out your phone. It is BibleIn365.com. What she does is she makes it so easy for you to read the entire Bible in 1 year. She will text you the verses. She will email the verses. And honestly, if you've never read the Bible, you should go read every single word of the Word of God. It will change your life. It will heal you. It will challenge you. It will deepen you. And she will do it in micro bits of, how do you do it? Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs, right?
It's only about 7 minutes.
It's BibleIn365.com. It's free of charge. How many people have gone through it?
We have over 180,000 that have gone through the program since
180,000 people. Isn't that amazing? That have gone through the Bible in 1 year. Lives have changed. People have given their lives to Christ. Marriages have been formed.
Yes. But also, too, I tell Charlie all the time, I'm like, look at this, because we get prayer reports and praise requests, like prayer requests, praise reports. And we get some that are like, thank you so much for having this. And I look at him and I'm like, this is what it's all about. Like, we get to be a part of people's faith journey. That's so special. I love it. But no, thank you. It's a fun ministry.
And the ministry is growing. And she also runs Proclaim Streetwear, which is the best Christian clothing line in the country. They have a booth out there that you can support. So she's an entrepreneur as much as anything else. But I highly encourage you guys, BibleIn365.com. Tell them the story of how that kind of came to be.
In a very brief SparkNotes version, I started for the first time, 2016, I was like, you know what? I need to read the Bible cover to cover. I never have before. And I created a program, and I was like, I don't know who's going to do it with me. So I asked one of my friends, Jess, to join me. And she was very sweet. She was my accountability partner. And every day we would check in. What did you learn today? What did, you know, which commentary did you use for this? And we just kept diving deeper. And anyways, at the end of that, almost towards the end of that, unfortunately, my grandfather had passed away. And that was a very rough moment for me because I loved him so much. And so once I read the full Bible in a year, I just prayed on you know, God, what direction do you want to take this? And long story short, I'm not going to get into the deep details of it, but that's when Proclaim was born. That's when Jess and I decided we should invite a few more people. So we just invited, you know, the handful of people that are in our community and our friends, and then it just grew from such a small little, and that's what's so beautiful is when you have those small little home groups or those little communities, accountability communities, and then have it watch grow from there is really, really special. God, I mean, it's not me or anything. It's all God's hand. So I can take no credit.
As we close here, any final messages for the attendees here, the pastors here on Faith Night?
That's tough because I feel like, and just like you, we have been given such a beautiful blessing on a platter, like on a silver platter, and it's up to us to really just continue to build and be leaders and know that, like, we obviously were made for such a time as this, but truly just own it and be out there, be the hands and the feet. Don't be afraid to talk about your faith. Be bold. Don't be afraid to say, yes, okay, you voted for Donald Trump, but more importantly, you're a Christian and you're here for a purpose. And like I say, like, your role is to make heaven crowded. That's why you're here. We're just here recruiting. I say that all the time, but your role is to make heaven crowded. And so just for some encouragement, thank you. I mean, honestly, you guys being here is a huge testament, but just thank you for supporting my husband and being there for him and all of the members for the members only for Charlie's podcast. Thank you for supporting that because behind the scenes, I get to see the team get so excited when new members sign up and just to be able to see your support for his podcast and for his radio show. As a wife, I mean, I can't even put that into words. So truly, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being the reason why AmFest and Turning Point USA and my husband and the way they've been able to build things, thank you for being a part of that.
BibleIn365.com. How great is Erica Kirk, everybody? Thank you, guys.
God bless you guys. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Merry Christmas. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.